Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Kanairi. What if solving brain games and puzzles on a computer could reduce the chances of developing dementia like Alzheimer's or delay the loss of function associated with the disease? That's the primary question being tested by a new study by researchers from the University of South Florida in Tampa. Thanks to a $2.7 million grant from the National Institutes of Health, researchers are developing a clinical trial for up to 1,600 older adults who will learn a mental exercise routine focused on processing information to target cognitive improvements over time. Simply put, the study will compare the effectiveness of what are called cognitive interventions, which can often be referred to as brain fitness or brain training programs, to counter age-related cognitive decline. The study will be happening starting at four training facilities, three in the Tampa Bay area and one in Michigan, that will each host up to 400 older adults. Joining me now to discuss the study is one of its primary investigators. Dr. Jerry Edwards is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences at the U.S. SF Morsani College of Medicine. She joins us from the studios of WUSF Public Media. Dr. Edwards, welcome to the show, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
This segment is pre-taped, so we're not taking calls, but you can engage with this topic and discussion via social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Edwards, can we start by jumping back a bit to the earlier dementia study that you did, which first got my attention?
Sure. This was a multi-site study sponsored by the National Institute on Aging called ACTIVE. And there were several investigators and several U.S. sites. And I was just one of the co-investigators on the large team. But we did a study among almost 3,000 older adults. And we randomized them to one of four groups. One was computerized brain games. One was memory training, in which you learn strategies and techniques to recall information. One was reasoning training, in which you learn how to solve problems and recognize patterns. And then, of course, there was a control group. And these almost 3,000 older adults were followed longitudinally and up to 10 years after the intervention, the training that they received.
Okay, I was going to ask, because I thought it said 10 years. I was like, that's a really good long study then.
Yes, it's been a good portion of my career that I've been involved in this study. So up to 10 years later, we examined them, and we found that those who did the computerized brain training exercises were less likely to have dementia 10 years later. In fact, up to 48% less likely, depending on how many number of sessions that they did. So we were very excited about that finding.
Hmm. Did the computer program or whatever interface they were using change over that time, or did you just stick with how it looked 10 years ago just to make sure everything was kept uniform?
In the study itself, they all received the very same 10 sessions of training initially, and then we followed them longitudinally. So over that time period, of course, the training program itself has changed quite a bit. It's basically been made to be self-administered. At the time of the study, we had to administer the exercises to the participants, setting them up ourselves. So
now it's
all automated, of course. It's also available by internet, and it's been incorporated into a commercial product.
Gotcha. Sure makes your job a lot easier, I would think, on some levels, having the internet and everything.
Yes. It makes the intervention accessible and low cost, which is very exciting given the potential of this to possibly delay dementia.
So that study was a springboard into this new study, or was it?
Yes, it was the major springboard. Of course, there's been over 18 randomized clinical trials of this particular computerized brain training program across different populations, primarily older adults. And overall, the results are quite promising, specifically that we can help older adults do tasks that are important for their everyday lives and their independence, which gerontologists refer to as instrumental activities of daily living. So more than six of these randomized trials have found that the training improves their ability to do those tasks, and that is likely why perhaps it is delaying dementia, because dementia by definition is when your functional abilities are impaired.
Hmm. How big is the team that you are a part of for this study?
This study is directed by myself here at USF and also by Dave Morgan at Michigan State University. And our team at USF, which will have four regional sites here in Florida, is about 20 employees.
Okay. So where are you at now in terms of putting this all together? I know you're soliciting participants, but sort of where are you in the arc of it happening?
Well, we're about ready to start any day now. We hope to be recruiting and enrolling participants within the next 2 weeks. And our goal, as you mentioned, is to enroll 1,600 older adults in this study here in Florida. This is a very large primary prevention trial. It's probably one of the first here in the United States, specifically designed to prevent dementia with a non-pharmacological intervention and using this particular type of brain exercises, which we know show promise.
Do participants have to live near you, or can they just get to you for the training and then live wherever they can when they live?
Right. So in this study, we've tried to design it to implement it on as wide a scale as possible. So we have teams that travel, and we are interested in finding community partners who would be allowing our team to come there and to enroll participants on site. So participants have to do 3 in-person visits, and then they can do the rest of the training, which is 25 hours initially, at home on their own.
Would the remote sites have to be some sort of clinical setting, or could it be, a nonprofit with space that says you're welcome to come here?
We'd probably prefer a nonprofit with space.
Okay.
That says, you're welcome to come here. We often partner with independent living facilities for older adults or retirement communities that have a clubhouse would be the ideal setting for us. Libraries. Just any kind of place in the community where we can interview people and have a small computer room. We would even equip it with the computers to introduce the study participants to the exercises they'll be doing on their own at home.
Hmm. If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Dr. Jerry Edwards. She's a professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences at University of South Florida. We're discussing new research she's part of that's exploring whether solving brain games and puzzles on a computer might reduce the chances of developing dementia like Alzheimer's or delay the loss of function associated with the disease. This interview is pre-taped, so we're not taking calls, but you can weigh in on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So let's talk about this study and how it will work. Can you break down sort of the basic training exercises that they'll be doing and on what kind of devices, et cetera?
So the training exercises themselves can be done on a personal computer or a tablet such as an iPad. And if individuals do not have access to an iPad or internet, we will arrange that for them in order to allow them to participate in the study.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you will provide them with one if they don't have one?
That's correct.
Okay.
While they participate in order to complete the training exercises, we will loan them an iPad and internet access.
So describe the training exercises just sort of in terms somebody listening to this conversation might be able to imagine.
Well, I would say that the training exercises just require you to indicate what you saw and what you heard. They're challenging. They may be quick. They may require you to solve problems quickly. And then sometimes the training exercises are repetitive because we know the way our brains work is that with repetition, connections are made. And the more repetition there is, the stronger the connections. So we're attempting to kind of reverse some probably normative age-related cognitive decline that may have occurred by practicing over and over again tasks that are challenging.
This may be obvious, and I just didn't realize it until now, but are you also collecting data on the way that they are experiencing the training, or are you just giving them the training and then collecting data on how they perform in future tasks?
At this point in our research, we're interested in whether or not what the long-term outcomes of the training
right.
are. Yes.
Gotcha. Is there something inherent in the screen time that is involved, the way digital media can sort of be finely tuned to connect to people, in a way that maybe we sometimes see as a negative, but in this case, if properly employed, is a positive? Does that make sense?
Yes. I think that there's Definitely types of exercises that we can do on the computer that can strengthen neural connections, that can help the function of our brain. But to be honest, we are not at a point yet where we can say, yes, this exercise will be beneficial to you, and no, this exercise will not be beneficial to you. We can give some guidelines as to what we think is or isn't beneficial, but I would say it's most important to choose an exercise if you're interested in doing brain training exercises that's been shown to be effective in a clinical trial for someone like you.
For your clinical trial, will different participants be given different exercises in order to see if one is more effective than the other, or is that something that you'll be working toward?
Yes, we're comparing different kinds of exercises to see which are effective in delaying the onset of cognitive impairment or dementia.
Gotcha. So some people will get exercises A or B or C or whatever.
That's correct.
Gotcha. So how will you then be collecting data down the road? Will you have people come in? Will they have to, what will that process be like in terms of, determining what is effective or what might have been?
Right. Well, we're very dependent upon older adults being engaged and interested in participating in the study, because we will only be able to do that if we meet our enrollment goal of 1,600 people initially. So if we meet our enrollment goal of 1,600 people initially, this will likely be extended into a 7-year clinical trial. And what we will do is we will bring people back 3 years after their initial visits. And we will test them to see if they show any signs of cognitive decline. And if they do, they will see a study physician and have a complete and thorough workup. And so that's how we'll follow up if we're successful. We have to be successful this year first.
Well, let's talk about successful being getting enough people. So you're looking for adults that are 65 years of age or older, who are willing to commit to the exercise and are not currently experiencing dementia or other forms of neurological disease. Is that a proper characterization?
Yes, exactly. We're looking for healthy adults age 65 and older who don't have any signs of cognitive impairment, who are interested in, I think, making a difference here and possibly preventing dementia.
Does it matter if they have a family history of Alzheimer's?
No, it does not for this particular study, which is unique. A lot of pharmacological studies require you to have certain biomarkers of Alzheimer's disease or a family history, and we do not.
Are there any factors that would preclude someone from participating besides, are currently experiencing dementia?
Or there's also a stage of cognitive impairment called mild cognitive impairment. So if you have experienced cognitive decline beyond what we would expect for your age and education, but you don't have functional impairment, there's this kind of transitional stage we call mild cognitive impairment. So we're actually looking to see if we can prevent mild cognitive impairment or dementia. So for this study, we're only recruiting older adults who are healthy.
Gotcha. How much time will participants be asked to contribute during the, once the study's underway?
So there's 3 in-person study visits that are 1 hour each, and then we are asking them to complete 25 total hours of the computerized training exercises. 2 of those sessions will be done at the study visits, and the rest of them will be done at home on their own. And then we would like for them to, again, 1 year later, complete 10 more hours of the exercises, and 2 years later, complete an additional 10 hours. So we're asking people to commit to those 3 study visits and across 2 years, completing 45 hours of the training exercises they're assigned to.
Gotcha. Is there a musical aspect to the study? Did I read that somewhere, or am I
mistaken? No, but we do have another study here
at
USF, called Keys to Staying Sharp, that looks at music as a cognitive intervention.
Keys to Staying Sharp?
Right.
I like the sound of that. We are exploring a new research study that's getting underway at the University of South Florida's Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences that will test whether using computers to play games that stimulate the mind might be able to stave off dementia and Alzheimer's disease. My guest is Dr. Jerry Edwards, who is one of the study's primary investigators. Our conversation is pre-taped, so we're not taking calls, but you can ask a question or make a comment on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. GCU using the hashtag GCL. The information that you sent me said that you're looking toward a possible follow-up study that would include neuroimaging of the brain and genetic testing to get a better understanding of, you know, who might be more likely to develop dementia. Can you just talk a little bit about that? I know it's not now, but is that something, is that kind of where you guys are heading?
Right. So in this study, if we reach our goals and we receive further funding to extend it, after the participants complete their initial visit 3 years later, we'll bring them back and we will examine them to see if they show any signs of cognitive impairment. And then if they do, or a subgroup who doesn't as well, we'll be asked to go through a thorough exam, including neuroimaging, including a PET scan, and a full evaluation by a geriatric psychiatrist. And in that way, we'll be able to see if the training worked for people, for example, who are amyloid positive, which is a marker for Alzheimer's disease, or maybe it helps people regardless if they are or are not amyloid positive. We will also be including genetic testing. So there are genetic markers that indicate susceptibility for Alzheimer's disease, and we'll be able to see if that makes a difference to whether or not you benefit from the training as well.
You know, you guys are working on an intervention that would hopefully be something that would be preventative, I suppose. Where is the research world right now, the more broader world, in terms of getting a handle on, you know, what's causing, you know, Alzheimer's and things like that? Are you enough in that world that you can answer
nope.
that broader question?
I am not.
Not your department?
No.
Okay. Well, that
I actually, you know, I started out just studying normal aging, and I particularly became interested when I realized that we could possibly intervene and reverse the cognitive aspects of aging. And the more I studied it, the more I realized that we were making a difference. So one of our very first studies, we found that older adults who did the training were safer drivers and were less likely to have an accident while driving. And that's actually how the training was initially aim toward. But driving is just one instrumental activity of daily living. And there, so the next study we looked at, well, if it improves driving, could it improve other aspects of older adults' everyday lives? And we found, yes, it could. And then to me, I thought, well, if we're delaying functional decline, then by definition, we must be delaying at least the onset of dementia, if not preventing it, who knows? And so lo and behold, we found that the data did show that, and we're pursuing moving it forward in hopes to make a difference.
All right. Well, that is about all the time we have. So remind listeners how they can get involved in this study. Like, what is the process if they want to put their hat in your ring?
Right. I would say to look at our study website, www.pactstudy.org, and also to call our lab. Our phone number is 813-974-6703. That's the USF site, and we'd be happy to direct you to other sites. Or if you're a site that's willing to allow us to come and visit you, contact us the same way. We want to get as many older adults involved in this study as we can.
All right. That is all the time we have for this part of the show. By the way, we will have links to everything she just said on our website, GulfCoastLive.org. I want to thank my guest. Dr. Jerry Edwards is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences at the USF Morsani College of Medicine. Dr. Edwards, thanks for your time. We'll have to follow up with you down the road once you've collected some data.
Thank you. Sounds great.
Our show today was produced by Julie Glenn and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Kenyre. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.